Man, we're going in the big track, Crane International Off-Road Raceway.
I love this schedule. Short track, and then the biggest track of all. I can't wait to get to it.
Well, Shane, let's kick back and check out what's going to happen at Crane International Off-Road Raceway.
Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL. As always, I'm Shane Stetsny, he is Brent Smith. And Brent, my goodness, Antigo, what a riot.
Yeah, Shane, that's all I can say is wow, it was amazing. It was very, very entertaining. I expected a lot of it, but then it was times 10. There was a lot of carnage, a lot of new faces that were up front, and it was a bull ring, like I like to call it.
Yeah, all those drivers, and we said this during the show too, that they really brought their A game. Part of that, again, like I think Haley brought it up on the show, was with the first weekend out of the way, the rust knocked off, those drivers were all locked in, and then you bring that, all that energy, all that enthusiasm, all that, you know, will to win to another short track, and then we saw how it played out. So let's dive in. Pro Spec, everybody's going to want to talk about Pro Spec, but the real ones, the hardcore old school fans, Light Buggy, I think that was where it was at. Pro Spec was awesome, we'll talk about that in a minute, but how awesome was Light Buggy both days? Saturday, you had Jake Shillman, Aiden Wandesiga, Eugene Renke Jr., all leading laps. Sunday, Carter Vandenhoevel, Jake Dischler leading some laps as well. Connor Schultz, you can still say it's his playground. He won both days. He's got four wins in a row now. But he only led three of the laps. There's a bunch of new guys in that class that are really showing that it's not just the Connor show this year.
No, and that's what I love about it so much, Shane. We're seeing new faces up in the front of the field. And Carter Vandenhoevel, I mean, he sat in the booth with us. We've known him since he's been a little kid. We're good friends with his uncle Mikey and a lot of his team. It's great to see him understanding the car, taking the setup and moving forward with it. They have such great people around him, but give the kid credit. He is very rocket fast and he understands it. I think he's going to be scary for other competitors at these big tracks heading into Crandon. But like you said, a lot of new people, and I don't think it's the Schultz playground anymore. I think it's up to these guys. If they're going to show up and swing away, they're going to have a shot at the twins, but they're always going to be there.
Yeah, we'll single out some of those drivers later that I already mentioned had run up front during those two Light Buggy races. But you brought up a good point. That is short track racing. Some guys really do well at short tracks and aren't as established yet on the big tracks. We're going to the biggest of them all. Do you think some of those guys will see them run up front, threaten to win at Crandon? We know Connor Schultz is fast at Crandon. The guy has won two straight world championships there. I think he has four straight wins at Crandon going back to the beginning of last year. Can anybody else win at Crandon?
Yeah, anything can happen at Crandon, Shane. I really believe it can because, yeah, it's a wide open track. We're going to be changing up some things, going a shorter direction in the spring race, I believe. But you still got to be wide open. You have the land rush start. I love the land rush start because it gives you some breathing room, right? You start 2x2 at all these short tracks. It's really tough for guys that start 11th, 12th, 14th in the field. You start up on the front row or even on the inside of the second row at Crandon, you got a better shot right to get some clean air.
Yeah, the land rush start so critical. We can talk more about that later too, but I already teased this a little bit. The other one that everyone's been talking about, Pro Spec, Saturday, fantastic race. I would put it right up there with the Saturday Light Buggy race as one of the best races all day in round three. And then they came back in round four and put on maybe one of the best races I've ever seen. Christopher Parrish, Chris Vanden Elzen, Nick Visser, they each had the lead two different times. All of them was also in third place at least twice. Christopher Parrish puts the move on Vanden Elzen in the last corner to take the win. What's your reaction again to that race? I mean, in the moment, we were both completely blown away by how great of a show that was.
Right, and you hear all these people sometimes in and out going, hey, there's not a lot of trucks in that class. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, they just put on one hell of a show every time they show up, and I thought it was over the top. I love to go back and listen to our call because we were just as excited in person as we were when we were 3-4 years old screaming for our favorite driver, and we're out here calling this race. I just thought it was over the top. It was amazing, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah, it was the mark of a really good race from our point of view is when we go to commercial right after the race, we're both just like at a loss for words. We're kind of like, you know, 1,000-yard stare. Like, how do you even sum up what you just saw? And that I think both of us felt that way. I know for sure I did.
Yeah, you're making me breathe heavy just thinking about that race. I mean, it was amazing. It was just, it was what we like to see, and it's what the fans come to watch. And I promise you, we're going to have some more trucks in that class coming up. But, man, Vandenelson, you have Parrish. I mean, you talk about Visser. I mean, he's inside. He's outside. Everybody calls like he's got the best shot to win. But I'm telling you, he's got a lot of boys to wreck it with this year because I couldn't tell you who's going to win at Crannon. We're going to be able to open it up a little bit more, and I believe you're going to see some new winners.
Well, another developing story from Antigo, rounds 3 and 4, coming out of Lena, the opening rounds. Let me take it back even further. Going into Lena, going into this season, we didn't know what Modcart was going to look like as far as the championship battle. Then we show up at Dirt City Motorplex for the opening rounds. Avery Hemmer just completely laid the smackdown on the rest of the Modcart field, won both days comfortably. Then maybe our point of view shifted a little bit. Like, okay, Avery Hemmer, we knew she was fast. Now she's shown she can win, she can run away. Well, another first-time winner showed up in Antigo. Gavin Plummer got the first career Modcart win out of the way in round 3, goes back out in round 4. He did it again. What's your reaction to the weekend that he had?
Shane, I'm just very proud. I'm proud of the young gun. He's a newcomer in the sport. In the last 3-4 years, he's looking very fast. He proved he's a winner now. He's going to be one to watch. I had a chance to talk to him. He wants to get back on iRacing, get behind the wheel some more, and good for the kid. He's getting more seat time, and I promise you, you're going to see big things out of that camp. And I just have a lot of confidence in his team, and I believe he has a lot of confidence in himself.
That, I think, was evident Sunday, what we saw on Sunday. You know, I joked with him, you know, I ran down to the podium to congratulate him again on Sunday. And I said, hey, after the first win, the rest are all easy, I guess. And he goes, hey, I guess so. So sometimes that's all it takes is you show to yourself that you can win a race. And then it's not that it becomes easy, but we beat this point into the ground. But confidence is a serious thing. You have to trust your equipment, trust yourself, and be able to get into that zone, so to speak. And once you tap into it once, every other race, every other green flag, it just becomes a little bit easier to kind of get in the zone.
Yeah, and it really does. You have to get those races under your belt, practice under your belt. Whatever you're doing to stay on top of the wheel and stay confident, that's what you need to do in our sport. And I'm seeing a lot more kids getting involved at such a younger age, doing more than just driving the car on the weekends. And that's what we need to see, and that'll grow the sport. Because it's just giving these kids, like we say, that confidence level.
Well, Brent, yeah. Sometimes I listen to like sports talk radio, and they do these goofy segments just to throw out some hot takes. So I'm gonna throw this one at you. Contender or pretender? I'm gonna give you a couple names. We can sort it out. So contender or pretender? In ProLite, Michael Funk. He just had his two best career finishes in ProLite: a fourth in round 3, a third in round 4. At Antigo, can he compete for a win in ProLite this year?
I was looking at his social media. I believe he's a contender. He's shown his strength. And I always say, at these short little tracks, you have to drive, get up on the wheel. They might be smaller, they might be a little slower, but they're driver's tracks. I said that since my brother and I went to Antigo when we first started, when we were 16 years old. This is where the drivers will come out. Yeah, granted, it's not a big track, but I think he's going to keep proving going into these bigger tracks that he's a contender because that truck is fast and he looks very comfortable.
Yeah, I think comfortable is an understatement. You know, he showed the speed. I think he was third or fourth fastest out of everybody in the race on Saturday in round 3. Came out in round 4, and ProLite, the way that class has behaved, I guess for lack of a better word, it gets really physical, and usually right away and from flag to flag, it's just a dogfight. He like just stayed away from all that stuff. He just ran his own race. And that was really, I think, the key thing that got him onto the podium. But like you said, though, he showed the speed. He's been a winner at Crandon and Modcart before, and I know, completely different truck, different track layout even than what we'll be running this weekend. He's fast. I don't know if he'll get a win this weekend. You know, Gibbs is going to be tough. Holter looks really tough to beat in that brand new Pro Light. But I'm with you. Michael Funk, I think he is for real. I think he is a threat to win this season. Still in high school, by the way.
Yeah, and he's gonna really keep pushing strong. And he's not just sitting there for a joke. He's fast, and he knows he's fast mentally. And you can tell, yeah, he can be third, fourth, fifth, sixth fastest in Pro Light. But if you're running that pace, you're running that speed, you just want to be there, right? You want to be there to pounce on any mistake so you can prove to those guys that you're fast, you're going to be there and gain that respect. And I think he's going to be okay at Crannon because you got that hole shot, and that's going to be pretty sketchy.
Well, how about another young guy that's been making some waves in light buggy, Eugene Renke Jr.? First podium of his light buggy career in round one at Lena. Went out and led a bunch of laps in round three and ran up front till he got tangled up towards the end of that race and ended up falling back through the field a little bit. But he's shown he can run up front. We know light buggy's tough. We know you have to beat Connor Schultz to win those races, along with Stingel and Dischler and all these other new fast guys all of a sudden. But is Eugene Renke Jr. a contender, or is he a pretender? Has he just been lucky so far?
Man, I really got to go with a contender because he's fast. Yeah, we're going to see different speeds out of different cars at Crannon. But Renke's really putting the time in, it seems like, mentally. He's there. He's going to be there at Crannon. And I think he has a shot to take out Schultz because he's just got that confidence, like we keep saying, and the speed. And at Crannon, you need speed. And to be on the podium is one thing. Will he win a race? I think he's going to put himself in the right position at the right time, and I believe you will see him win a race yet this season.
Well, speaking of someone who was in the right place at the right time, how about this? Let's talk about a Pro 2 driver for a little bit. Kyle Greaves. We knew he would be fast. We expected him to win races this year already because his track record in Pro Light was unbelievable. But his first win was a cup race, the Kyle LeDuc Memorial Cup race. So when it comes to the cup race, the Forest County Potawatomi Community Cup race, Sunday afternoon at Crandon, is he a threat to win that cup race too?
Hey, he's won already now. So like that mentality's there. He knows the truck's fast. Yeah, granted, Crandon's faster, wide open. I'm sure they put test time in and put some laps down.
You've seen him race a Pro Light at Crandon though, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, he's ridiculously fast in the Pro Light at Crandon, and as is a lot of these drivers, but he knows how to get around. He knows he's going to have the truck, and he'll be a threat. A lot of these guys will be threats in that cup race, depending on that gap. But, yeah, I mean, you have to put Kyle Greaves in there. Love him or hate him, you have to put the boy in that spot because he's proven himself in the Pro Light, and now it looks like he's ready to take on Pro 2, whatever gets thrown at him.
Not just Pro 2, but Pro 4 trucks hunting him down, apparently.
Yeah, unbelievable. That race was crazy at Antigo. It was like, what is going on? But that 20-second gap really filed them in perfectly. I mean, CJ got caught off guard, but that's why we had it. And I'm very excited to get back to Antigo next year because I think a lot more Pro 2 guys are going to be ready for that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, why don't we talk about that a little bit? Let's unpack that race. I think, you know, we knew about the format coming in, the virtually no head start because lap times, oddly enough, between Pro 2s and Pro 4s at Antigo, only a couple seconds apart. You know, you add in the disadvantage of the Pro 4s starting behind all the Pro 2s, and then the wrench in the plan, the joker lap that the Pro 2s had to use. That format actually worked out really, really well. I think maybe one more lap would have made it a closer finish between Kyle Greaves and CJ Greaves, who was the fastest Pro 4 and finished second overall. But for a first time, throwing out a new format, cramming all those Pro 2s and Pro 4s onto one small racetrack, I think it was phenomenal.
Yeah, Zach and the guys did a fine job at Antigo Lions Roaring Raceway, and they always do. And it's so cool to see something different and to do it for Kyle LeDuc, and cool to see his family all there and support in the race. And Zach was very emotional about bringing out that trophy. And I mean, you and I, it was tough to watch and to see, but I think the guys gave it their all. And I think it's going to be a big cup race throughout these next 3-4 years, because we're going to just keep building and building.
And I think for that race to be a tribute to Kyle, and his memory and everything that he meant to so many people. I think all you need to know about the impact that Kyle had on racing fans, off-road fans, is, you know, we played that 90-second, two-minute video, which couldn't have been many dry eyes in the house. There was none in the booth, I can tell you that much. The video ended, and then just this roar from the crowd. With, I mean, Pro Spec, Pro 4, Pro 2 race, didn't matter. I did not hear the crowd roar that loud, other than what they, you know, the love they were showing to Kyle and Kurt and the rest of the family that were there. So I think that's kind of all that needs to be said about that, if you want to know the impact that Kyle LaDuke had on racing fans.
Yeah, it threw chills through our body. And yeah, like you said it perfectly, Shane, there wasn't definitely a dry eye in that crowd, because they just felt it. They were there, and it felt like Kyle was with us, and the pain he went through and at such a young age, and take one of our favorites away out of our sport. It just seems like we've been robbed, but to keep his legacy alive and to get to watch Reed and Natty race and Amber to be around the track and to see Trad now working with Jimmy Henderson, they're still there, right? We don't have Kyle, but it's hard to move forward. And damn, it sucks every day to not be able to give him a call and ask him what he's up to and what he's building. But we got to keep building his legacy and keep him around, because him and a lot of other greats in our sport just can't be around, but we got to keep it alive.
Yeah, I don't think the impact that he had is going to be forgotten anytime soon, which again speaks to, you know, how important he was to so many people. Well, loyal listeners, we want to remind you this podcast is presented by Amsoil. Champ Off-Road fans, remember to visit Amsoil.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient Amsoil product guides to find what you need and get fast shipping directly to your doorstep. Amsoil, run with us. Well, Brent, the next chunk of guys that I want to talk about are some people who are sitting really pretty in championship hunts this early in the season. And I just want to hear your reaction to, you know, whether or not we expected these guys to be where they are. Let's start off with probably the biggest story on that front. Lorenzo Bonacci leading pro buggy points, 3 wins in a row going back to round 2 at Lena.
Unbelievable. The kid can wheel. He's fast. The car looks badass. I mean, he's got the whole package, and to see how fast he was at Antigo, I can't imagine when he gets to stretch his legs out at Crandon, because that car is very quick. He's very confident, and he loves the race, and I didn't realize how young he was.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it translates to Crandon. Like I said, you know, at the start of the show here, 2 straight short tracks, and those tracks sort of similar to what he's used to from racing out on the West Coast. Now we're coming to Crandon. He's raced at Crandon before. He was there for the 50th back in 2019, but again, long time ago. Will that translate? That's, I think, the biggest question for me, especially when you're going up against guys who have way, way more laps at Crandon, guys like, you know, Mark Steinhardt, Billy Booth, guys that have been there a long time.
He's going to chase that cushion. He's going to chase the fast line. He knows what to look for. I mean, those short tracks, there was some nasty corners. It was slippery. It was like an ice rink at Antigo. I mean, you go back to Lena, there were some issues going through some of the turns, so you really had to be up on the wheel. So I believe at Crandon, it's more of a flat track, wide open. Yeah, the gravel pit can get a little torn up, but I think he's going to continue his win streak, and I'm not putting the predictions out right now, but it's going to be tough to slow him down.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Momentum is a very real thing. Like I said, it's going to be really fun to watch. Pro Buggy, we called it this year. It's going to be super entertaining to watch because, again, you bring that momentum, 3 wins in a row for Bonacci. But again, something about the Crandon mojo for Mark Airsteiny Steinhardt. I think we're set up for a good battle, and you can't count out Jordan and Cole Bernlohr. You can't count out Jaden Lemke, all the other fast guys who are in that class, Dave Mason Jr. A lot of different ways Pro Buggy could go. I'm just excited to actually get down to business and see what happens in that one. But how about another guy who is having a really great year in one class, had a really great weekend in 2 classes? Let's talk more a little bit about Connor Schultz. 4 for 4 on the season in light buggy. I mentioned earlier, he only led 3 total laps in light buggy, but he led the 2 most important ones at Antigo. Won both those races, and just for good measure, went out in 1600 buggy, won both of those races as well. Talk about his momentum coming into Crandon.
Wow, I mean, it probably feels like he's getting pushed down a hill in a radio flyer wagon or something. I mean, he's got it all pinned down. He knows how to win. He's very quick. He is ready for anything that is in front of him. I mean, to jump in the 1600 single after doing light buggy, yeah, granted, you can see the track twice and all this. Not everyone can do that, and he's one of the few. I think he lifted and elevated the sport in that class, and I think he's really turned the single buggy division into a new life because, yeah, we got our winners that continued to win and win and win, but now, I mean, man, he's putting some damage down in 1600.
Yeah, and don't look now, but Crandon last year, remember, he won both light buggy races and he won the ring race in 1600, so coming to a place where, as I said earlier, he knows how to win as it is.
Yeah, that's definitely scary for everyone else, and you can't count him out. The minute you read him off, it gets in your skin. It gets under you. Where is Connor at? Where is he going to be at the end of the race? And I don't care if it's the last lap or four to go or he gets the whole shot. He's always going to be there, and that's what you got to run against.
Well, switching gears a little bit from buggy classes to side-by-side classes, Sportsman side-by-side, I was looking at all the point standings today. Tyler Wusterbarth has a 17-point lead after four rounds in Sportsman side-by-side. And what do we always say is the key in those classes? It's consistency. He has finished no worse than sixth so far. Seems like everybody else, every other driver in Sportsman side-by-side has had at least one bad day already. Is he just going to set sail and cruise to a championship?
It depends. I mean, he's had some consistent runs. I mean, very solid runs. I don't want to take nothing away from Tyler, but he could go from having great weekend to bad weekends, and you could flip-flop that 17 points and be down 17. So we'll just have to wait and see. Anything can happen in those side-by-side rides. I mean, they're so sketchy. They're great to watch. They're fun. But they're dangerous, and these guys don't care. They'll wing it into all these corners. They hit on these open-wheel cars. Anything can happen, and he's just going to have to keep doing what he's doing. Stay out of trouble and keep moving, and that points lead will build.
Stay out of trouble, like you said. Stay consistent and find a four-leaf clover as soon as you get inside the gate at Crandon. That's, I think, one of the keys in that class especially. Another one that I think you can make the same case, Pro-Am side-by-side. Consistency the last couple of years and last year, even with Bill Berger winning that championship with no wins. Well, now we're four rounds into the season. David Gay has three wins in rounds 2, 3, and 4, and he's obviously leading the points. He's been bad fast. What does his rest of his season look like, do you think?
Yeah, David's really done a lot in a short period of time, and he's very confident like a lot of these guys and gals are, but He seems like every time you talk to him, and we talk to him on the podium, he says, I belong here. This is where I expect to be. When we're not up here, I'm not happy. And he's just got that drive. And I believe David Gay's going to be one to watch. I mean, three straight wins. I could see him sweeping the weekend at Crandon if he keeps things going. He knows how to drive. He just adapts to whatever he needs to adapt to.
Yeah, he'll be another one that's going to be fun to watch to see whether the momentum can transfer from two short tracks to the long track, like we've talked about a couple times. Let's highlight a youth racer here in this little section. From short course kart, Finley Holcher, two wins, 2 second place finishes. So again, consistency in a big class, that's really important. He has a 43-point lead after four rounds.
That is so nuts. I mean, that's a big lead. I mean, Finn is putting in the work and the time. He's really quick. Two wins, 2 seconds. We just talked about David Gay and how you have to be consistent. And the Wusterbarth and everybody else that needs to just keep doing what they're doing. That's what Finn Holcher needs to do. You need to just show up. You got to go for those wins. He's fast enough to pick up some more, but stay out of trouble. That is going to be huge for him the rest of the year. It's so crazy we're talking about points this early, but
I'm always keeping my eye on it. You know that.
Oh, for sure. But I'm saying that everything counts, and we've seen it many of times. You don't need to win one. You just got to be there in the end.
See, the secret that not many people know about me is that I actually really like math.
You do.
That's why I always love the final weekend of the year, Sportsman Championship weekend at Crandon. You got me up in the booth with scratch paper and the pencil trying to jot down what every pass means as the race is going on. I love it. I live for it. Shane Stetson, off-road racing announcer and math nerd. Well, I got a couple more things for you here. These are two overreactions that I have right now, and I think here's how we're going to play it. I'm going to tell you my overreaction coming out of Antigo, and you're going to tell me why I'm wrong. And let's see if you can prove me wrong on both of these. Let's start with Pro 4. My overreaction is Adrian Chenny is going to win the championship this year. Prove me wrong.
Oh, it's hard to prove you wrong because he's just been that fast. He's been there. He's in the hunt. He's doing what he needs to do. He's got a great group around him, and he's matured a lot in the past 2-3 years, but especially in 2024. To say you win the championship, I don't know. There's so many great race car drivers. It's early, but I would have to say, I'd say 50-50.
So you kind of understood the assignment, but we'll work with that. 50-50. I mean, if we're being real here, Henderson with the new truck, you know, he's going to expect him to take some wins. Obviously, a lot left in the tank, I think, for Johnny Greaves. Kanen Baker has looked ridiculously good. That class is just so tough. And then we'll talk about some of the guys, the part-timers that'll be in the field at Crandon, too. I think Chenny has his work cut out for him, especially at both Crandons where there's a fuller field. But I'll stand by it. The wild man, he's been wild man fast, but he has not been wild man wild, if that makes sense, which is why I'm jumping to that conclusion after four rounds.
No, it's your call. I mean, you were excited last year, and we were both were at Bark River when he knocked that win down, and I think it drug him into the next season because he's there, he's fast, and yeah, we got other drivers like CJ Greaves, John Greaves, and now we're going to have some newcomers coming into this weekend, but at the same time, that blazing orange truck, it's hard not to see this year because it's that fast.
I like how you said, we've got some other guys, and then named two guys who have a combined 15 Pro 4 championships. just some other guys.
Your favorites.
Hey, you know it. So my other overreaction, and I can get away with saying this because we're friends with the guy, and I know that him and his dad will understand the bit that I'm playing here. There was some drama in Superstock at Antigo, and the defending champ, Joe Machosik, ended up disqualified. And I want to go out of my way to say that the way he talked about it on the podium on Sunday, 100% pure class. I appreciate it, Joey. His reaction to it was professional, so I appreciate that. Nice job. But he's 32 points back at first. We know how competitive Superstock is. My overreaction is there is no chance that he is going to run down the points leaders. Prove me wrong.
I got to say you're wrong because Joey Machosik, he's always there at the end of the year, and that deficit is just a little blink of an eye because you can see what happens at Crandon. You can see what happens at Bark River. He's going to be there. He did. He was very, very, very smart on describing what went down and how he handled it. I'll agree on that. He said that you could have started me anywhere and I'd have been up front. That's just how fast they are. And him and his father are out to win. And I don't believe he was cheating at all. I mean, I don't think any of those guys were. No. They're just that little quarter inch that they were talking about on limiting straps. These guys aren't running brand new shocks and brand new limiting straps every year. They're using what they have. And I mean, they stretch. And so, I mean, we're trying to keep everyone honest, but to knock all those guys and make them look bad, I think it was a little harsh.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a tough deal all around. Like you said, nobody was going out of their way to try to skirt that rear travel rule. These are trucks built largely out of stock parts or, you know, stock replacement parts. Things stretch, things bend. It's unfortunate that some of those guys got pinched for it, but it's also racing. I think everyone just wants to move on from it, and it's a lesson learned. You know, make sure you're within all the rules, no matter what. But, you know, I'm going to take the mask off and ruin this bit. I said he's cooked, and I, for the record, don't believe that whatsoever, because you remember a couple of years ago when he crashed at Crandon, basically had a whole weekend of almost no points. He still almost came back and was, you know, in the championship hunt. If the season was like one round longer, he would have had a shot at it. So, no way. No way is he done for this year. Not a chance.
Yeah, it's hard to go against Joey and his race team, and we never would go against any racer or race team, but they just have that drive, and you have a lot of great talent in Super Stock Truck, and he'll keep digging, and I promise all of a sudden you're going to be like, remember when we were talking about Joey, how he was 32 down, I promise you, he'll be there in the end.
Yeah, he can take a big bite out of that this weekend, and we've seen him do it before, like I said. So just for the record, Joey and Larry, I'm still on your side.
Well, Shane, we're headed into the big house. I mean, you're from Crandon. It's one of my favorite spots to go each and every year. We've been around it a long, long time. And why do you think Crandon is so special to everyone?
I mean, it's the birthplace of short course off-road racing in the Midwest. This is the granddaddy of all short course off-road racetracks. You know, a few series ago, moved west and tried to replicate the product that the Midwest gives for short course off-road racing. Everybody was chasing what Crandon does and what Bark River does, you know, natural terrain tracks. It's such a unique experience, and the changes to the track over the years have made it, first of all, extremely fast. Every class, I mean, as fast as those race cars can go, 170s on up to Pro 4s, they'll hit their top speed and then some at Crandon. Enormously wide. It stays relatively smooth. It does get chewed up in some spots on the track. And then the prestige of winning there. You're talking about going to the same racetrack where guys like Robbie Gordon and Jimmy Johnson, Jack Flannery, Walker Evans, Rob McCacker, and Scott Taylor have all, you know, stamped their names in the history books. Every driver that drives through the back gate at Crandon to set up their pit spot, they understand that. They get it. And they want to be the next one that gets to put their name in the history books for winning at Crandon.
So what do you think we're looking for coming into Crandon? I mean, do you think it's going to be a big carnage fest like we've seen at these short tracks? Or do you think guys and girls are going to get more spread out to the faster straightaways and we're going to see more of a cleaner track?
Well, the nature of super speedway racing, whether it's on asphalt or in off-road in the case of Crandon, I think is everything spreads out a little bit and everybody has to play nice. It's a little bit too dangerous to beat and bang on one another. We'll see some of that. For sure, we'll see some of that in Calamity Corner at the finish line. The gravel pit always provides some of that action. You know, I don't think it'll be quite as physical. The thing about a long track where momentum and putting lines together is so important is, sure, you can bang doors with the guy that you're trying to pass, but all you're doing is slowing both of you down. You're better off trying to put those runs together and work your way to the front as clean as you can because, you know, second and third, if they're banging doors, that's just letting first place run away. So I think it'll be more calm.
Yeah, and you talked about the different corners and Calamity Corner and the gravel pit going in and out of those corners, but we used to go in the Cowboy Corner in the spring. Now, talk a little bit about it. The track's going to be a little different compared to the fall race, right?
The same layout that we saw last year for the spring race. So you come out of the right-hander at the finish line, out of Calamity Corner, through the little S-bends, through the chicane down into the Argonne Corner, and then you immediately turn left. You go down into the gully, jump back up onto the front straight right at the top of turn one, and then the rest of the track as usual. And that was actually a really hotbed place for passing last year. I'm thinking back to the Pro 4 race that Jimmy Henderson finally got the monkey off his back.
Right, yeah.
That's where he made the pass on CJ Greaves.
Yeah, that new style track, I really do think it shakes things up. And it creates great racing because you got to climb that hill. You have to hit your marks. Sometimes they slide wide. And Henderson, he got the job done in that section. So I think they're mixing it up in a great way. And I think the vibe's great. I think what we got going here in the spring race is going to be great. I mean, the big crowds. I mean, we're going to probably see the biggest numbers for racers yet this year. Think of all the new faces. I mean, tell us a little bit about who's going to show up that we haven't seen yet this year.
Well, I think for me, the headliners are RJ Anderson, who's been a cup race winner at Crandon, joining Pro 4. He'll be in Pro side-by-side as well. Obviously, his brother Ronnie come to play in Pro 2. The defending Pro 2 champ, Corey Winter, who's running a part-time schedule this year, is going to make his debut for the season. And then you've got your friend, Robert Stout, joining Pro 4 as well for Crandon. I think those right there, along with Jacob Rosales coming back to Pro Light, that's a gang of fast trucks.
Yeah, and it's sad that we don't get to see these guys each and every weekend, but we'll take the weekends we can with these guys.
Absolutely.
Because, man, it gets me excited, the blood flowing. You know they know how to drive. You bring them to the big house, they're going to get the job done. They haven't ran a lot, but these guys are always driving something. Their programs are very huge. They know what they need to do to win. And RJ Anderson, Ronnie Anderson, they're fun to watch because they're always putting a smile on everybody's faces, mingling with the fans. Cole Mamer loves to hand out stuff. I mean, that's what we love to see.
Yeah, I forgot to mention Cole Mamer back. Another fast guy.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be amazing to see. And I mean, I can't say that it's gonna be the best race that we've ever seen yet, but I think it's shaping up to be, because we're at the big house. This is what we get to watch this weekend, and we're gonna see a lot of great speed, and we're gonna get to see turn one. I mean, since I've been 4 years old, sitting by that fence, I mean, that's something you don't get to witness at a lot of motorsports.
Yeah, turn one's going to be absolutely insane. You mentioned the bigger truck counts, 12 Pro 4s. That's a very healthy Pro 4 class. And to steal a phrase from our friend and friend of the show, Kyle Cooper, you look at the Pro 4 field, all the talent that's in there, one of those guys has to take last.
Yeah, it's nuts, because now you put all those healthy trucks and how can't you agree with Kyle Cooper?
Yeah, no doubt about that, but I think we're all going to have a lot to smile about this weekend. We talked about the expanded fields, high speeds, turn one, the land rush start, Crandon chicken wings, so much to celebrate this weekend at the Forest County Pottawatomie Brush Run Races. You can find us live on Flow Racing, 9:45 a.m. Saturday morning for sportsman opening ceremonies, weather permitting. We didn't really talk about that, but possible rain in the forecast. Fingers crossed that it dodges us. But again, Northern Wisconsin in June. It's a mixed bag, shake of the dice. But we will be live at that time. You got to be there. You have to see turn one in person. You know, for those of you who have just been watching on Flow Racing, you got to make it out to one of these. Crandon especially. It is unlike any other racetrack. The land rush start, like we've talked about a couple times, most exhilarating moment in short course racing, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely, Shane, and I'm excited to get there. It's the big house, spring or fall. Hey, it tops it all. It's Crandon. You're excited to go. I know I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely, Brent. Crandon is a show like no other, just like the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL. For Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL.
Sometimes that cannot, that's all it, let me start that sentence over.
That was nice.
For Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny, and I can't say my own name.